Thank you, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IOC call on the 4th of April 2012. On the call today, we have Lanny Ajayi, Jeff Newman, Konstantinos Komaitis, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, Chuck Gomes, Stefan Hankins, Thomas Rickett, Jim Bykoff, and David Heasley. From staff, we have Brian Peck, Margie Mylan, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I have an apology for the call today. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jeff.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I've just been in the middle of a cough there. Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to our first call in April. I know the first question everyone has for me, which I don't have an update, and I'll put Margie or Brian on the spot. The GNSO Council on March 26th had approved the motion with protections on the top level. I have not gotten any update, but I was wondering if Margie or Brian have anything to add on that.
Sure. There's after the approval by the Judicial Council last Monday, the motion or the resolution, adopted motion, resolution was transmitted to the board by staff, so the board has it. I spoke with Kurt earlier. They are trying to coordinate, or they are a board discussion on the motion. It's up to the board to decide whether they want to have that discussion, so we don't know or don't have a date yet. Senior staff has been in communication with the board and coordinating a discussion of the motion.
Okay. Is there any other, anybody have any questions on that? Okay. So now we start a new chapter on the second level protections. And so I want everyone to kind of put out of their minds a lot of the things we did at the top level and kind of just, I know obviously some of the arguments, both pro and against, are going to likely be raised with the second level. But, we're kind of, we finished that chapter and now moving on. There were a couple of lessons that we learned in the top level. We do need to account for having some time for public comment periods. We also need to account for some of the discussions that we've had at the top level with trying to refer to things in the more general. The GNSO Council, I know, will be having further discussions on whether to broaden our look at things or whether to keep it as narrow as we're focused on it. At this point in time, given that we have no other direction from the Council, our focus is still primarily on the request, the initial proposal from the GAC from last year, from September, based only on the IOC and the Red Cross marks. That's at this point in time. I'm not saying that won't be changed or can't be changed, but at this point in time, we should focus our attention on only those two organizations until our scope is changed. Any questions on that? Chuck?
Yeah, Jeff, just want to give a little background information for those that are relatively new to the GNSO. I chaired the Reserve Names Working Group that was part of the new GTLD PDP, and this goes back to, 2006, 2007 probably. It was quite a ways back. And I wanted to let people know that we had fairly extensive discussions on reserving names at the top and at the second level. And there wasn't a lot of inclination in the reserve name working group to reserve names at the second level. Now, again, to say it's similar to what you said, that doesn't mean that can't change, but I think it's important for people to set the context that the GNSO recommendations with regard to reserve names weren't made without consideration. Now, did we specifically look at the Red Cross and the International Olympic Committee? I don't remember whether we focused on those, but certainly there was no specific decision to reserve them at that level. Again, I'm not trying to say that should or should not happen now, but I want people to have the context that it was part of the PDP in a special working group that was formed, and we discussed this at quite a lot of length. And that doesn't have to necessarily influence what we do, but it's important for people to understand that this whole idea, the general concept of reserving names at both the top and now the second level, was pretty extensively examined. That's why a special working group was formed to look at that. That's all I've got, Jeff.
Okay. Chuck, Thomas?
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know that as I had announced during the discussion in Costa Rica, I have today, well, a couple of minutes back, I should say, sent a motion to the GNSO Council to be discussed at the upcoming GNSO meeting for the initiation of for the request of an issue report, so that this subject matter can be dealt with in an appropriate way in the PDP process. Thanks.
Yeah, and just on that, I just forwarded that to the group, so at some point, hopefully soon, we should all get a copy of that motion. Again, until the GNSO changes directions on the work that we should be doing, I propose that we still move forward at least as much as we can. You know, even if the direction is changed and there's a formal PDP on this process, the work that we do as a group can certainly be used by a subsequent group, or, you know, it's also possible in theory that this group may just be converted from a drafting team to an official working group under an official PDP. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. But,
Jeff, if I may add, the reason why I put in this motion is, number one, to make sure that at least the GNSO Council discusses what route it wants to pursue with the subject matter, but also in case the process gets delayed for whatever reason, then the outcome of a PDP would be a consensus policy that would even be binding after the potential new registries have signed their accreditation agreement. And that would actually make it possible for have sort of an automatism for protections to be granted, you know, even if we can't get the work done before the first RRAs are concluded.
Right. Thanks, Thomas. That's true. And I think, you know, obviously if it is done after contracts are signed, then that group will have to consider any transition mechanisms for names that may have already been registered or, you know, however those, if those processes had already started or not. So all that said, again, our work can be used for an issues report if it passes with the right threshold. Can certainly be used by a subsequent group, or, you know, maybe the two groups will still continue to run in parallel. So any questions on that before we kind of jump right into the second level discussions? Okay. Hearing none, let me just go into a little bit of just remind everyone where we are, how we got here, and what we're looking at. So if you look on the screen right now on Adobe, although I can't control, is there a way to give everyone control of their own screen?
Sure. Hold on.
Cool. So the protections at the second level, the GAC had asked for specific protections that these particular marks that were listed in that appendix in the applicant guidebook are blocked or reserved from registration and in all the new TLDs, and they limited it to the translations of these marks in the six UN languages. And so we're not dealing, again, with the issue of an unlimited number of translations, or it's not to say we can't discuss that, but the proposal itself from the GAC is actually limited to the six translations of the marks that were in that appendix. And so, like we did at the with the top level, the very first thing we did during our discussions was to discuss, okay, are these the primary questions that arise out of the GACS proposal, and are these the options for those questions? So before we actually dive into any of the substance or answers to these, I want to make sure that we have the questions from the GAC proposal right, and then the options, and then to see whether there are additional options that we have either left out or that people have thought of after reading this. So just to read again what the GAC proposal was, with respect to second level names, the GAC requests that ICANN amend the new GTLD registry agreements to add a new schedule of second level reserve names. The new schedule should reserve those terms set forth in Schedule A attached to the GAC proposal. They recommend that it's only identical terms be protected in the six UN languages, with an encouragement to registries to provide additional languages. Please note the GAC in their Q&A document did not ask to protect similar strings to those in Schedule A, but only identical matches. So if the word that they asked to be protected was Olympic, they are not requesting that the registry agreements be amended to include Olympic Games or Olympic, you know, airlines or anything like that. Only the word Olympic, only the identical matches. That's in the GAC proposal. So the first question, which I think is probably the overarching question, which we'll spend the bulk of our time talking about, is just the generic question, should the Olympic and all the Red Cross names be reserved at the second level in all new GTLDs? Again, that's the overarching question we'll probably be spending our time on, but obviously there's lots of sub-questions in there. And so the options that we came up with, or at least that I brainstormed that I think we may have had some discussions on, option one is no, there should be no changes to the schedule of reserve names. Second option is yes, we should change the second level reserve names currently in the agreement to include, and then there's a whole bunch of sub-options. So you can include, and here I did separate out in the options the Red Cross names from the Olympic names, as we had some discussions on that earlier on. So option 2A, one is all of the Red Cross terms set forth in Schedule A should be added to its languages. Option B is only a subset of those. Option C is, or I should say 2B1, is the Olympic names. All of the IOC terms set forth in Schedule A in the six languages. Option 2 is a subset of those names. And then 3A is kind of a combination of all of the Red Cross and Olympic names. Option 3B is all of those terms set forth in Schedule all of the Red Cross names in Schedule A in the six languages, but only a subset of the Olympic ones. And option 3C is only a subset of both of them. So that is the first overarching question, which again we'll run through kind of the themes with everything else. The additional notes I put in the options were to select any of the options that involve a subset of terms, we obviously need to discuss the criteria for what goes into a subset of those terms. And all of the options above, we've included the six UN languages, but of course we can consider additional languages or less languages as the group wants to consider. The third note is that the question above talks about protecting in all new GTLDs, but are there any new GTLDs? This is, of course, a hypothetical. Are there any new GTLDs where we wouldn't necessarily recommend these protections? So although the ICANN applicant guidebook does not talk about or distinguish between brand TLDs, as an example, we know now, or we'll soon know definitively, that there are some TLDs where these protections may or may not be appropriate, and the group can feel free to discuss those if they see fit. Are there any other options with the overall protection? Again, I separated question one and two. Two is, okay, if we do protect these and put them on a reserve names list, then question two really gets at to how do we remove those names from the list or allow certain types of registrations. But we only get to question two if we've actually answered one in the affirmative. And then, sorry, we only get to two or three if we've answered question one in the affirmative. So is there any other options that we may have left off with question one? Hearing lots of silence here. You know, when we were talking about the options in top level, I had come up with like four, and you guys came up with 10 more. So you guys are the brain trust, so I just tried to get the discussion going. Okay, so in question number one, I want to try to kick off the discussion and kind of borrow from some of the lessons learned from the top level in the sense of, one of the things we have requested, although have not gotten any kind of word back from, and I don't know, Margie, do you know if this request, actually, before I say it definitely went over, Margie or Brian, do we know if a formal request has gone over to the GAC to request on the legal analysis as to why these names were chosen to be protected?
I'm not aware of. I'm not sure, Margie. I don't think we're aware of any such request or transmission.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me check and send it to the list. I can't remember if Stefan had sent something or not. But we'll check Jeff and send it to the list.
Okay, because I know we talked about it, so I'm gonna figure that analysis is going to play into our discussions. But, again, I've thrown out the options there. Obviously, people have discussed some of these within their groups, or have people not discussed these within their groups, but I know people on this call have certain gut reactions to this. So, Chuck, do you want to start the discussion, please?
Sure. Thanks, Jeff. It seems to me that one of the first things, or doesn't have to be definitely the first, but what we need to discuss early on is the issue of whether or not all the protections that are provided in the guidebook for second-level rights protections would suffice to address the needs of the IOC and the Red Cross. I think evaluations we need to do as a discussion group is to come to some sort of opinion on whether we think additional protections like reservations are needed, or could the needs of the Red Cross and the IOC be addressed through mechanisms that there are a lot of them that weren't there in previous rounds of new GTLDs. So is it really necessary? And I'm not suggesting an answer to that, but I think we need to carefully discuss that. Again, one of the conclusions from the Reserve Names Working Group was that the objection process that was recommended for new GTLDs, and in particular associated with Recommendation 3 on rights protections, would have been an adequate way of handling concerns like these. Now, whether or not this is an exceptional case, and I appreciate you, checking on whether or not Stefan has sent the request to the GAC to get the research information that they obtained, because that will be helpful in this decision. So, I think that's a fundamental question that we need to deal with in answering question number one.
This is Wolfgang. May I? Hello?
Oh, sorry, I'm talking to myself on mute. Yeah, Wolfgang, we'll put you in the queue. We got Thomas Constantinos, and then I'll put you in after Constantinos, okay?
Okay.
All right, Thomas.
Thanks, Jeff. I think in addition to what Chuck said, namely to see whether the existing RPMs provide a sufficient protection level, I would very much like to learn more about the current threat scenarios, meaning that I would very much like to learn from the IOC and RCRC whether what the abuse cases are that we see now. Because the way that the proposal is now phrased or the question is asked, we would be looking for identical matches. And I'm not sure whether we actually, or whether these organizations have actually seen any abusive registrations with identical matches. Because I think, you know, if at all, we should shape the countermeasures to the actual threat scenarios.
Right. So your example, Thomas, is that even if Red Cross is protected, this wouldn't protect, when the earthquake hit Japan, it wouldn't protect Red Cross Japan because that's not an identical match. And so are we, if we implement this proposal, are we really solving or even making a dent in the issues brought up by the Red Cross or the Olympic Committee? And so I think that's definitely a question that we should be thinking about as a group, and hopefully the research will help us out on that. Constantinos?
Thank you, Jeff. Actually, Chuck and Thomas pretty much covered the bigger picture. We are asked a very fundamental question here, which is whether there are terms that need to be specially protected at the second level name. And as Chuck very, very correctly said, the biggest question is something that was not answered at the top level, why not the current mechanisms are not sufficient for these names. And I think that it is only logical to ask, as a first step, from these organizations to produce examples and a list of names, and that's, I think, what Thomas also more or less suggested, in order, however, to substantiate that we actually need these extra protections. For example, you were also part, a lot of people in this call have been part during the creation of these RPMs, and we all know that the URF is a very, very cheap, for example, process and was created for this specific reason. So, before we enter all these discussions, it is extremely fundamental to understand this. We need to be shown tangible evidence that we need to start having these discussions. Thanks.
Thanks, Constantinos. I'm going to go to Wolfgang, but I'm going to come back to you on a question that I have for you and the group. So let me go to Wolfgang first, though.
You know, looking at the language of the two options now, I think it's very too early to say already yes or no. Because, like on the discussion, the previous discussions, where we asked it also for a legal study, you know, which would make clear the unique status of the two organizations, I think we need more knowledge about both the risks and the gaps in the existing system. And all this, so that means I would feel much more comfortable to have all this knowledge. So that means we have some anecdotal knowledge, about the various protecting mechanisms in various legislation, including in the Greek legislation. But we, during the previous discussions, we raised so many questions, in particular to the variations with Olympia, Olympus, Olympic Airways, and all this, so that at this stage I really do not feel myself in a position to say yes or no to an option. So I'm looking for more detailed legal analysis, which would then allow to have a more comprehensive and also sustainable solution, which could include also, other other names which have a similar dimension like Red Cross and Olympic.
So I think Wolfgang and Constantinos kind of put the bridge to exactly where I want to go. So let me throw this question out. And Chuck also actually has a question on the note saying, are the Red Cross and IOC allowed to register names in the clearinghouse? I think the answer is, Constantino said, I don't see why not. I think both of these organizations do have trademarks. In fact, I know that. So they are able to enter the clearinghouse simply by virtue of having, you know, trademarks in various countries. So they will be eligible to get in. But my question is for Constantinos and others on the call, Wolfgang. So we need more knowledge. We need more information. So in a perfect world, what is the information, if you could request, and, of course, I know the Olympic Committee and the Red Cross have observers on this call, so they're not going to be able to, and I'm not going to put them on the spot to see whether they can provide this information or not, but if you could get information, what would ideally be the type of information that you would want to see produced? So I throw it back out to Constantinos first and then to Wolfgang, who specifically mentioned they'd like to see more. So what is it that you guys would like to see?
I don't know, Jeff, this question is a little bit, you know, rhetorical at this stage, but for example, right now they're asking for more, these organizations ask for more protection, so I think that they need to convince this group, especially considering that there has been another similar policy 5 years ago which rejected it, but right now we have rights protection mechanisms more than enough, so I don't know, evidence, for example, a list of domain names that have been registered and have harmed either of these organizations that would warrant, at least, some sort of a protection at the second level, at the top of my head. Something that would be able to get the discussion going in a real way, because right now we just hear a very general harm, which I understand it exists, but we need to see whether this harm actually warrants the creation, the special status for these names.
Okay.
Chuck, this is Lincoln. Unfortunately, I still don't know how to put myself on the list, but can you just register me on the list and tell me when I can speak, please?
Sure. I got Jim next in the queue, and then I'll go to you, Stefan, and then Wolfgang will have had a couple minutes to think about it, so I'll put him on the spot after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, so Jim?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I've heard several people mention that the organization should come forward with some evidence about the extent of cyber squatting in the current TLDs. And we have that. I mean, we get reports basically on a weekly basis, and there's literally thousands a month that are registered, either containing identical names or very similar names. So we have that kind of material, and that wouldn't be difficult to produce.
Thanks, Jim. That would be very helpful to submit to the group, because, you know, obviously we hear the arguments and you know, our gut tells us this could be an issue, but it would be great to see the evidence of that and to get that to the group.
Well, I just would say that, you know, we're getting so many now in just I'm not even going to say 22 TLDs, but for .com, .net, .org primarily, and maybe a few others, and thinking about how that's going to be translated on the second level if we have 1,000 new GTLDs, you know, makes us quite nervous.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Stefan.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Well, I just make a few comments on what has been said. My first comment is, of course, the public policy concerns that, you know, led us to or led the GNSS to make the recommendation for the first level, obviously, you know, is a strong for the SEC level is not stronger as far as we see it. If the question is, you know, whether practice shows that, you know, misuse of the Red Cross, Red Crescent denominations is only a theoretical question, well, it certainly is not. And, you know, there, practice really shows that, you know, there are very frequent instances of misuse or fraudulent use of the denominations, and that, you know, they're common occurrence. I mean, whether it's, you know, the ICRC, the International Federation, or national societies such as the American Red Cross, we very frequently have to deal with these sorts of issues. And in particular, when there is a humanitarian crisis, we have instances like this very frequent at the second level for CCTLDs as well as GTLDs. So, you know, I think the notion that, you know, preventive measures need to be enshrined in the system, I think is very necessary in our eyes. I have to see a little bit with my colleagues, but I think we could certainly try to provide, you know, illustrations of the misuse and illustrate also the implications that has had in past instances. As regards the notion of the unique status which has been raised on many instances and again today, well, first of all, I would like to refer you to the public comment that we submitted during the Costa Rica meeting, because there we already tried to outline the two wings of the specific status of the Red Cross, Red Crescent names, both as, you know, the denominations of the emblems of protection of medical services of armed forces and, you know, of victims of armed conflict, which is the basis for the international protection of the denominations under the Geneva Convention, but also as, you know, the denominations of the various components of the Red Cross and the Red Crescent movement. I think there is, you know, already very much the thrust. But indeed, you know, it would be helpful if, you know, we could have, you know, a little more clarity on what you require. I mean, obviously, you know, we can provide, you know, a much more detailed document which would highlight, for example, that the International Committee of the Red Cross or the International Federation have observer status in the United Nations and so on, and you know, a certain number of factors which illustrate the, you know, the status of the organizations themselves. But I think, you know, it's true that if, you know, we could clarify a little bit better, I mean, you know, it's certainly we can do that, but much of it is already in the document. And lastly, of course, I do want to reiterate again that, you know, the protection doesn't stem from, you know, trademark registration. Again, you know, these are denominations that enjoy international protection under international law, and that international law regime is then reflected in the domestic legislation which was listed by the GAC in its paper of last autumn. Maybe I'll leave it at that and see whether I can say a few more words later. Thank you.
So, thank you, Stefan. I think the three questions, the three main questions that I've kind of jotted down as far as to help the group understand and you know, walk through these issues, is I'm not sure this group has a full, understands the full scope or full extent of the problem. You know, we've seen the letters that go back and forth that you make these statements that, you know, this is a problem. But, you know, as Jim started to kind of provide some evidence of, well, it's a problem, and here's the backup as to why it's a problem. There's 1,000 new cases a month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So anything that you, that the Olympic Committee or the Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement can give to the group so that the group has a full appreciation of the problem and what the problem is likely to become with all of these extra names, extra top-level domains, I think that is the kind of information that people are looking for. Is that, so that's the first question. The second one is kind of the theme that I'm hearing is, you know, why can't these big problems be solved with the existing mechanisms that are being proposed for the new GTLD process? So what is it about the new mechanisms that you feel are insufficient to address your concerns? Whether, you know, and there could be, and I know you stated some of those, you know, the cost to go after all of these. There's a whole bunch of things that, that you all can have said and probably could reiterate to this group. And the third overall question that I have is, you know, we have a very specific set of recommendations that have been handed to us, handed down to us by the GAC as far as what they recommend. So the question I have is, you know, to what extent are these limited recommendations of identical matches in only the six UN languages really going to address those the problem, you know, the scope of the problem that we identified in the first question? I mean, those, I think, when you boil it down, at least for me, you know, are the three main questions. And Konstantinos has posted to the chat, which I guess is a subset of the first question, which is, you know, what's the scope of the problem? Included in the scope is, okay, so let's say there are 1,000 new registrations a month. You know, what is the actual harm of having these registrations? And I'm sure you all have made these arguments before. I know in the case of the Olympic Committee, there's been court cases and others where these arguments have been made. I think providing that type of information to the group will be extremely helpful. Yeah, so again, it's the scope of the harm, scope of the problems, including, you know, the harms that are suffered. What are the perceived problems with the new protection mechanisms? And what effect would these limited protections being recommended by the GAC, to what extent do we think that's going to address the problem? You know, do we think, you know, if it is that big of a problem and we all agree with that notion and we all agree that the existing mechanisms aren't enough, does the proposed recommendations actually, will that actually make a dent in the problem or not? Mm-hmm. And if not, if the answer is no, then is there anything else that should be considered or should be done? Chuck?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I think you did a really good job of summarizing those. With regard to number two, on whether existing mechanisms would work, I think it would be very helpful for us to understand from the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee in what ways they don't think that the existing mechanisms would solve the problem. But in addition to that, I think it would be very good if we got an official reading from the General Counsel's office with regard to the existing mechanisms in terms of the eligibility of the two organizations, including in the six UN languages, to use those mechanisms. In other words, an official statement so that we know for sure and it's not just our opinions with regard to that they would work. I think that would be very helpful for us to request that very early on.
Sorry, Chuck, just to restate, what you're asking is, are the International Olympic Committee and Red Crescent eligible to use the existing mechanisms?
In the six languages.
In the sixth lane. Okay. So, okay, got it.
Yeah.
So even if they
get that from the General Counsel's office, while at the same time requesting from the two organizations what ways they think that the existing mechanisms do not solve the problem.
Okay, Margie, do you understand that question that Chuck asked?
Yes, I think, yeah. I mean, basically, as you say, is whether the two organizations can, entities can utilize the current existing mechanisms with regard at least to the six UN languages for each organization's name.
And this may not be, and it may be that both organizations have trademarks in each of the six languages, but, you know, in theory, if they didn't, let's say they only had the English version of Olympic registered, again, which I know is not the only language, but let's assume it was. Would they be able to use the URS in other languages that they may not have a registration for?
Okay.
But maybe Jim can answer that, you know, for the Olympic Committee and say, look, we've got registrations in a number of countries in all of these languages, and it may not be an issue.
But again, Jeff, what I'm suggesting is we get the responses from both sources, both from the two organizations and officially from General Counsel's office.
Right, right.
Good for Glenn.
Okay, Jim, did you want to add something? I'll put you off, and then I'll put Constantinos.
Yeah, we can provide a response to that. I have not, done a full survey of all of the different languages. I know there's at least some languages, but I can get back to you with the extent of which we have these six languages for the two terms.
Great, thanks. Okay, Constantinos?
Can I also request, if it's possible, that from the ICANN staff to dig up the conclusions of the reserve names list back in 2007 reached concerning, you know, what were the conclusions, how the team concluded its discussions. Thanks.
Okay.
This is Wolfgang. You asked me already a couple of minutes ago to give more substance to my questions. Is this the right moment?
This is a great. I was just going to come back to you. So yes.
Okay. I think Jeff and Jack did already summarize some of my ideas. I think, generally speaking, fact-based decisions are always better than decisions which, you know, are based on certain estimates. And so far, I would be very interesting, and it would be very helpful to have this. Facts on of a paper from the IOC and the Red Cross to see, you know, the dimension of the misuse. I think it should be clear for everybody, also in this group, that we have to do something against cyber squatters and behavior in bad faith and misuse. So there should be no misunderstanding that I think here we have a clear consensus in the whole group. But the question is, you know, if we start to give privileged rights, you know, to one group, then we risk always to get, a wave of followers who want to have similar privileges. And so far we have to clear, where the gaps are. I think this is the first thing which I want to know. Where are the gaps in the existing system? So this system has not yet been tested. So, and in so far probably we have to wait a moment and then to find out, you know, where the gaps are so that we can close those gaps to stop all misbehavior. I think the arguments both by the IOC and the Red Cross are very clear that there are a lot of squatters who use, you know, disasters and other things, you know, to for misuse, and this should be stopped. I think this is a clear understanding. I think here we have a clear consensus. But if we have see the facts on the table, I think this would be helpful. And on the other hand, if we would get from the GACO, from somebody else, you know, a study which would explain us that these two international organizations are different from all the other international organizations. I think both the IOC and the Red Cross did a good job to explain that they are very special. They are protected both in national legislation and in international legislation, and they have these various national committees, they have the international committee, and all this. This is very clear. But a number of other organizations in the world, you know, can argue in a similar way. And I think this is probably not anymore the task for the Red Cross and the IOC, because we understand the special status. But, you know, it's now up to the GAC or to somebody else to explain that these two organizations are the only two organizations in the world which have this uniqueness. So, and that not other organizations. You remember the letter from the 28 intergovernmental organizations, and, you know, other groups have already indicated that they are looking very careful how we handle the IOC and Red Cross case, and that they will draw their own conclusions from that and come back, you know, with their own initiatives and ideas. I think this is the problem for the GNSO Council and then for the board, you know, to find the right balance, you know. If you start to give privileges to one group, then you should not be surprised that others ask for similar privileges. And though the question comes back to the issue which has been already raised here, so is the existing mechanism, where are the weaknesses of the existing mechanism which would allow, regardless of all the safeguards which are already in the system, people and institutions who behave in bad faith to do their criminal activities and how we can stop this. I think this is our common understanding. And here we have to base our final decisions on facts and not just, you know, that we want to serve special interests of a special group. I think this is very this is the point. And with regard to the International Olympic Committee, so we raised this already several times. Konstantinos raised this question several times with regard to the top level. I think this is even a bigger question for the second level. You know, what to do with all these other institutions in the world which are existing in real life and have variations of Olymp or Olympus or Olympia in their name. It starts with the city of Olympia in Greece, with Olympic Airways, with Olympus cameras, with hundreds of Olympic restaurants. Even in my city, in Leipzig, we have two restaurants with the name Olympia. Would they not be allowed, you know, to register their restaurant name in a web address? You know, how you handle all these cases if you give these exclusive rights? And so here, you know, we have to think a little bit deeper and to find a compromise which would satisfy all the needs, and in particular to stop the misuse of people who are criminals.
Thanks, Wolfgang. In some respects, this is a little bit different than the top level in the sense that it's only the identical matches, so we wouldn't have to worry about Olympus or other things, you know, Olympic Airlines, for example. But, you know, in other ways, so we do need to think about that, but I think we need to answer the root question first of whether these deserve, whether the Olympic, International Olympic Committee and the Red Cross deserve special protections that others don't have before we get to the question of, okay, if we decide that that's yes, then we talk about, well, how could others that have legitimate rights to names that are, may even be identical, how do we get them to be to still be allowed to register those names? So we have to take this in phases with the understanding that if we decide to apply additional protections, how to make sure that we're not getting the mom-and-pop Olympic restaurant that's allowed, you know, that's been grandfathered in or is allowed to exist, or Olympic Airways. You know, we do need to consider that, but I think that's after the overall question. Konstantinos, do you have? Is this an old hand or is it new? I can't remember.
Sorry, no, Jeff. This is an old hand.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to make clear that at the second level, our thought is that there has to be a mechanism, and we haven't gotten to that point yet. But there has to be a mechanism, as we created in the first level, that would deal with folks that can that do have a legitimate right, so that they can register on the second level. So we're not trying to overreach here, and I think that clearly there will be cases where somebody comes forward that has a legitimate interest, and there should be some, either a panel determination or a letter of consent or both or whatever, some mechanism to allow those folks to register at the second level. I'm talking okay. about people like Olympus and Olympic Airlines and so on.
Right, absolutely. Chuck.
Yeah, and following up with what Jim said there, I believe, and Jeff, you're probably more familiar with this than I am, that the existing mechanisms allow for competing marks to both be in the clearinghouse, and so at least part of what he's getting at may be covered in existing mechanisms, but that's something we can look at more closely as we go forward.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. So on that note, and I haven't, you know, it sounds like we're kind of winding down on this. Our next call is scheduled. We're still scheduled to meet every 2 weeks, which I think is a good idea. But I'd like to give some time to the Olympic Committee and to the Red Cross to kind of just take back what we've asked and see if that they can provide something to us. Jim and Stefan, is 2 weeks enough time? Do you need some more?
No, I think it should be enough, yes.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah. Should be enough.
So then let's keep our sorry, Margie, you have a question?
Yeah, on a separate issue, I'm going to finish this issue.
Okay, let me just finish, and so we'll still have our call in 2 weeks from today, but Margie, let me go to you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I checked with the Secretariat. It looks like there was no request to the GAC, so if you want to, as chair of the group, send a formal request to the GAC on their legal advice, we can get that kicked off. So that was just the answer to the question you posed earlier.
Right. What I think I'll do is I'll draft something and send it by Stefan, because I think he may want to send it as chair as opposed to it just coming from a drafting team of the GNSO. So I'll that's Stefan Van Gelder, not Stefan in this group. So I'll draft something. I'll talk to Stefan Van Gelder about it and see how he wants to handle.
Okay, and then I have a second thing. We're already starting planning for Prague, if you can imagine that. We have to submit requests. The window is opening now for a request for meetings in Prague. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up to see whether this group thinks it's going to want to meet in Prague when we put in our requests for scheduling.
Yeah, I would say the answer to that is yes. I think we do need a separate group meeting on this, although depending on what happens with the council, if there's an issue report I would pencil in some time on this subject for the drafting team / whatever happens, whatever it's called later on.
Yeah. I was thinking there'd be at minimum an update on the weekend session, but then I also thought that there probably would be a working session of this group, or if there's a PDP started on the other issue. But I thought it'd be better to at least plan for it. We can always cancel if we don't use the space.
Yep, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay.
Chuck, can I ask a question, please?
Sure. Yes, please.
This is Stefan Henkin. Yes, I just wanted to ask the best source to be fully briefed on the existing mechanisms at second level is really the applicant guidebook.
Sorry, can you repeat that again?
I was just wondering what is the best source, because I am, as far as I'm concerned, I know Deborah Hughes knows this much better than I do, but the mechanisms in place at the second level, what is the best source to know their extent? It's the applicant guidebook.
It's the guidebook plus the additional papers that came out specifically on the Trademark Clearinghouse some of the other protections. I think if maybe ICANN staff can help you with some links to those. I don't know if they're all officially, quote, part of the guidebook, but they're all on the page where the guidebook is posted.
Indeed. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Jeff, just to help Stefan out a little bit there, Stefan, if you go to the guidebook and go to Module 5,
yes,
in the guidebook, and then there's a whole list. If you look at the left column, there's not only the agreement itself, but there are lists of there are links for the particular rights protection mechanisms, the Trademark Clearinghouse, the URS, et cetera. So they're pretty easy to find, but certainly if you need help on that, any of us would be glad to help.
Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Okay, any last questions or comments? Okay, so then same time of day, 2 weeks from today, we'll have our next call.
Hey, Jeff, just one – this Chuck again. Just one thing. I put it in the chat, but it'd be really nice if we could get the responses back from staff and the general counsel's office in terms of the eligibility of the Red Cross and IOC to use the mechanisms, including in the six languages, 2 weeks from now, because that's a fundamental question that forms the foundation for everything we're doing.
I agree with that, and I'm sure Margie and Brian
will push. Putting the request in today.
Thanks, guys. Okay, thank you, everyone, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.